question and answer program everyone enjoys.
I would say yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
Here are the questions.
It's your history quiz for your Sunday night. And tonight, the history of design and technology. Earlier this evening, I'm talking all things AI and how it's changing our world, our relationships. But what about the design and technology of the past that changed the way we live? So tonight, in your history quiz, it is the history of design and technology. 20 questions, we have checked them. If you'd like to join the queue, 1-300-800-222. It's 1-300-800-222 to play along for your history quiz tonight. Get a question right, move on to the next one, get a question wrong, and you'll let go. And at the end, you'll win the very coveted magnet, Nightlife magnet. And again, I've got a calendar and a diary from Gardening Australia that hopefully producer Lockie will find at some point, because he doesn't know this, but they were sent to him. And I couldn't find them the other day. So hopefully Lockie can find them very soon. Yeah, poor old Lockie's shaking his head. It's all right. We'll find them, Lockie. Okay, let's go to the lines. In Gundagai is Izzy. Very good morning to you, Izzy.
Well, good morning, James. How are you?
I'm good. How are things in Gundagai?
Oh, okay. Sort of green, but we did have this big storm this afternoon about 4 o'clock, and a huge amount of rain came tumbling down. I got on my little gauge, 35 mils of rain in about 2 hours. And a big tree just missed our garage.
Oh, my gosh. Down.
But the SES were marvellous. They came in within half an hour and sort of chopped it up, and all was well. But I don't know how the rest of the town went, but, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, lucky it missed your shed. That would have been quite the inconvenience.
Yeah. It would have been, yeah.
Oh, well, and it's good that you got a bit of rain too. But is it a bit cold there tonight?
Oh, not really.
Okay.
It is. Actually, it is.
Yes.
I've got the air conditioner heater on now, and it's 22 degrees inside, but outside it's 10 degrees.
So oh, there gosh. Go. There we
yeah,
go.
It does get rather cold down here.
Yeah, well, maybe not usually at this time, though, of the year.
No, that's right.
All right, Izzy. Well, let's see how we go with question one on the history quiz tonight. Let's get stuck in. Which ancient invention, once used for divination in China, later became essential for navigation, quietly guiding explorers, merchants, and empires across oceans?
It would have to be a compass.
Yes, it is a compass. That's very good. Question number two. The first information revolution began about 5,000 to 6,000 years ago with the invention of writing. Which 15th century invention led to the second, quote, information revolution? What was this invention and who was the inventor?
Oh, it was the printing press.
Yes, it was the printing press.
So name Gutenberg?
Yes, it's Gutenberg.
Okay.
Very good.
I'm thinking Gutenberg, was that the town or was that the inventor? Okay.
Yes, Johannes Gutenberg. Very good. Yes, gosh, it's... I wasn't around when there was a morning and an afternoon paper, but I do miss that was a thing, you know?
Oh, I was the paper boy for many years. In North Sydney, and remember doing the morning rounds. I hated that, but the afternoon rounds were really good. I used to sell newspapers to Ita Buttrose's father, Larry Buttrose, and he was always the first one to buy his daughter's Women's Weekly, and he bought Time and Newsweek, and he bought the two afternoon papers, the Sun and the Mirror. And he always gave me a 20-cent tip, which is a huge amount of money.
Yeah, that sounds very, very generous.
Yes. No, it was fun.
Oh, good one. Were you on a bike?
No, just walking around. But I had in North Sydney, I had all the tour office buildings that were going up, and I had a couple of those buildings all to myself, and it was good.
Oh, very good. Okay, well, question number three. Izzy's in Gundagai playing the history quiz tonight. What dining instrument is said to have been introduced to France in 1533 along with Catherine de' Medici?
A dining, as in fine dining?
A dining instrument, yes.
A dining instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And when was it?
1533.
Mm-hmm.
With Catherine de' Medici, I believe. She had something to do with its introduction.
Oh, I think possibly, could it be just a knife?
It's not a knife.
No.
All right. But you've kicked us off, Izzy, so thank you for that.
Thank you, James.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, good night.
Good night. Izzy in Gundagai there, 1-300-800-222. If you're playing along for the quiz tonight, let's head to WA, Fremantle, where George is. How are things in Frio, George?
Very pleasant, James. Very pleasant.
Very good. Okay. We're at the dining. We're dining tonight. We're after a dining instrument said to be introduced to France in 1533 along with Catherine de' Medici.
Last caller said a knife, and I think knives had been around for quite a while, so the next logical thing would be a fork.
Yes, it is a fork. Very good. Yes, so Catherine de' Medici brought a collection of silver forks from Italy when she married the future King Henry II, helping to introduce the utensil to other Italian dining customs, along with other Italian dining customs, to the French court. So there you go.
It's a sort of interesting fact. I mean, I didn't know. That was pretty much a bit of a guess. But it's interesting. You would have thought that a fork was pretty elementary sort of thing, that they would have had something, you know, like that before.
Yeah, I wonder what they used before the fork.
It must have been their fingers,
I guess. Their fingers, maybe, yeah.
Or maybe the old stick the knife in it and pick it up with the knife.
That's true. It could have been the knife. But anyway, okay. Yes, but I can imagine why the knife would have come before the fork.
Yes, I think it was a bit more essential.
Yes, okay. Question number four. What optical device did Benjamin Franklin invent in 1784 that we still use today?
He invented the bifocal glasses.
Yes, he did. The bifocal glasses. Gosh, it's incredible that that's been around for so long.
Yeah, exactly. But he didn't invent the, we call them the variable focal length, or the, you know, the variable lenses. So his was pretty much the old line, you know, line across the bottom of the glass and the different magnification down the bottom. Which were rather unpleasant to use.
Yes, they're a bit more advanced now, aren't they?
Yeah, well, graduated lenses, so...
Yes, that's true. Okay, question number five. In 1876, Alexander Bell and his assistant Thomas Watson had the first telephone call in history. But some people at the time were afraid that the telephone would attract what?
Unwanted callers.
Private numbers.
would attract what? Is that the question?
They're afraid that a telephone would attract what? There are three potential answers, and I'll just take one.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry, three potential. You're not going to give me the potential answers.
No, you can just give me one of the potential answers.
Well, I guess there's this sort of possibility of a shock, I guess, although it would have been low voltage.
Yeah, electrocution is one of the things that people worried about. Yep.
Yeah, but, I mean, telephones is low voltage, but that's obviously a possibility, or people might have been afraid of that.
Yes, so correct. Yes.
Well, the other one's just out of curiosity.
Yeah, evil spirits I would have accepted. And
fair enough.
Yeah, and lightning.
Oh, lightning, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Question number six for the history quiz. We are powering through tonight. George is in Fremantle. What was the manner of transport that is said to have powered the Industrial Revolution of the mid-18th century?
It was a steam train.
Yes, it's the steam engine. Yes, the steam train.
Mr. Stevenson's at work.
Are you a bit of a technology buff?
No, no, not at all. Not at all. I'm not a buff of anything.
Well, we're doing quite well here. We've got the forks, yeah, the bifocal glasses, the evil spirits, and the steam engine. We're at number four questions right, George. Okay, let's go to question number seven.
Keep asking me things that I know. Yeah.
See what I can do about that.
I'll do pretty well.
Yeah. Okay. Which culinary invention first popularized in 1904, World Fair in St. Louis, transformed the way people enjoy frozen desserts by combining portability with edible packaging?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to run that past me again. I didn't quite get the drift of that.
Okay. Which culinary invention first popularized at the 1904 World's Fair in St. Louis transformed the way people enjoyed frozen desserts by combining portability with edible packaging?
Edible packaging?
Yes.
Was it a culinary invention?
Correct, yes.
A culinary invention. Would it be possibly the ice cream cone?
Yes, it would be the ice cream cone.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, yeah, a roundabout question asking, yeah, how do they, what do they do with the ice cream?
Well, yeah, but if we said that, it would have been a little bit too easy, yeah. George. You wouldn't have to think about it.
Oh, no, well. Bit of an issue to get my head around it.
Okay, well, let's see how we go with this one. This is an audio clue. This is the first broadcast. This is question number eight. My gosh, Lockie, what are we doing? I thought... this is the first broadcast on ABC television. What year was it and who was the presenter?
Hello there, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and children. This emblem that you've just seen is tonight the symbol of a historic occasion, the opening of the National Television Service, which, of course, is your television service.
Mm.
The gentleman's name was Kim Gingell, and it was in 1956.
It was in 1956, but it's not Kim Gingell.
Not Kim Gingell.
No.
Is it close to that, Kim? Close to Gingell?
I can't tell you.
Oh, right, okay. No.
But, George, you did very well.
Yeah, fair enough.
We'll talk to you again the next time.
No problems.
Thank you, George.
You're on during the next Friday, yes.
Yep, I'll be here next Friday. Yeah, I'm not here on Saturday because I've got my grandmother's 90th birthday.
Oh, that's worth waiting for, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So, no, I'll be here Friday, Sunday, and then the weekend after, and then Suzanne will be back.
If I thought about that guy's name, I should have given a bit more thought because I think I know who it was.
You think you know it now? Oh, George.
Yeah, and it's Channel 9, I think. I always thought it was Channel 7 first, but I think it was Channel 9 from memory.
Mm. Okay, we've got to leave it there, George. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, no problems, James.
Thank you, George. George and Fremantle, WA there, here on ABC Radio. This is the History Quiz. We'll see if we can get that answer in just a moment.
And there's cricket on. ABC Sports Summer of Cricket. Join Corbin Middlemass and Jim Maxwell, alongside Alison Mitchell and Jonathan Agnew, plus Darren Lehman, Glenn McGrath, and many more cricket royalty.
The Ashes.
On your radio and on the ABC Listen app.
Nightlife with James Finlay. This is ABC Radio.
And we're playing the history quiz tonight. It's the history of design and technology. If you'd like to join the queue, 1300 800 222. Anne is in Caulfield. A very good morning to you, Anne.
Hi, how are you going?
Good. I was worried that we weren't going to get to you after George was doing so well.
Well, I was too, but I'm thinking maybe you should have skipped another one of the questions.
Okay, so we might have stumped you here. Okay, so this is the first broadcast on ABC television where after the year, well, George got the year, it's 1956, but who was the presenter? I'll play it again for you.
Okay.
Hello there, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and children. This emblem that you've just seen is tonight the symbol of a historic occasion, the opening of the National Television Service, which, of course, is your television service.
Do you remember this?
No, because I was a bit too young and we didn't have TV till I was a little bit older. But was he right with the surname Gingell?
No.
No, so that cuts out Bruce Gingell because I was thinking that.
Also, the Gingells were very involved with Channel 9, I believe, right? Someone will correct me, but this is an ABC broadcast.
Gingell was a comedian. Have you got any clues?
No, okay, I know I'm new here, but I cannot give you clues, Anne.
Yeah, you can. I won't tell you.
Don't tell anyone. No. No clues tonight.
Look, I'll just take it. I know it's wrong, but I'll just say Roland Strong, but I really have not got the foggiest idea.
Oh, that's okay. It is not Roland Strong. You have a good evening, Anne. We'll talk to you again soon.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. Anne in Caulfield there. Cameron is in South Perth. How are things in South Perth, Cameron?
I don't know. I've been in hospital for 10 days.
Gosh, are you feeling better now?
Yeah, I'm on the mend.
Oh, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. Are you out of hospital now?
Another 3 days.
Oh, another 3 days. Okay. Well, glad to hear that you're on the mend. We'll see if we can get things better for you if you can get this question right, Cameron.
Well, I thought it was Gingell, and I know I have an alternative, so I'll have to say goodnight.
Oh, Cameron. All right. Well, look, all the best for the next 3 nights, and hopefully you're home very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cameron. Dion's in Adelaide. Hello again, Dion.
Hi. How are you going, James?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, so 56 is the year. It's the first broadcast of ABC television. We're after the name of the presenter. How much of a history buff are you on this?
Oh, well, I was actually going to guess that it was another Gingell like Bruce or David. Because although I think he was the one who actually said welcome to television. Well, which is more or less what... The point is I've got no idea.
Yeah. Yes.
So
yeah. I think people are thinking of the welcome to television thing, yeah. But this is not that.
Yes, it is different. But can I just say that I hope you enjoy your grandmother's 90th birthday.
Thank you.
It's my late grandmother's birthday today.
Oh.
And yeah, she would be 101. And I did like the catering for her 90th birthday.
Did you?
And it was a big, you know, over the top home. she was still living at home, just.
Yeah.
And yeah, cooked like way too much food and.
What did you cook? What did she want?
Well, you know what? I actually don't think she wanted to have a party, so that wasn't really very thoughtful of me to do that. But I cooked lots of Mediterranean dishes, and I made a very potent rhubarb schnapps that I steeped myself. Yeah, yeah, because she always used to cook with rhubarb, so I did a few dishes, a few desserts with that.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, and that was really good. So, I think grandparents getting to that age is pretty special. So,
oh, yeah. Well, yeah, my Umar definitely wants a birthday party, I'll tell you that. So, yeah, we're all heading to regional Victoria to celebrate. So that's next Saturday.
Perfect. Well, have a good time.
Yeah, thank you, Dion. We'll talk to you next time.
See you next time.
You weren't even going to take a stab, were you?
Oh, I could just, okay, I would just like guess, was it Robert Smeaton?
Okay, it's not Robert Smeaton, no.
I'm not surprised then.
Thank you, Dion. Talk soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Dion in Adelaide there, 1-300-800-222. This one's getting a few of you. Okay, let's head to Lynham, where Loz is. G'day, Loz.
G'day, I've got no idea. Kim Gingell's a funny actor. From I saw him on that show, My Very Small Business, but as for your question, I've got no idea. Sorry.
Oh, dear. All right, Loz. Well, look, better luck next time. Loz is gone. In Denison, John is. G'day, John.
Is that John in Denison?
Yeah, no, you're John in Denison.
Correct.
Yes.
I shall clarify. Were you calling out to John from Denison?
Yes, I am. It's your turn, John. How's your evening?
Ah, excellent so far. How's yours been, James?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good. We've stumping quite a few people here on question number 8. Do you want the audio again?
No, it shouldn't be necessary. I believe it's Michael Charlton.
Yes, it's Michael Charlton. Well done.
All very posh.
Yes, it was sounding quite posh. How do you remember that? Or how do you know that answer?
I know that answer because a lot of people told me about it after the event, because when I was born, which was 1958, when they all came back to the house after the christening to wet the baby's head, so to speak,
yep.
My parents had bought a TV, and of course, that was the big attraction, not the new baby or whatever, but it was this newfangled thing in the corner. And some of them had talked about, I heard stories later on after I was able to actually understand what people were talking about, and they told me about how the first night was with Channel 9, and then later on the ABC came along.
Ah, right. So you had the limelight stolen from you at your christening then, by the sounds.
A little bit.
A little bit.
I don't think I was of an age to matter.
No, that's right. That's right. Okay, well, let's get to number 9 now. Question number 9. This song features an invention that changed the way music was made. What's the name of the song, the band, and the invention? You ready?
Oh, a triple decker.
Okay. I know, it is a triple decker. Here we go. Salvation to yours, but just the time it takes to pay the dancer. Once again, such anxious men find questions but no answers. The night has gone and taken its infraction. While Ben dies, hope there will be a next one. Okay, John, we need the name of the song, the band, and the invention in this song.
The only thing I can think of is one of the early electronic, like a Fairchild synthesizer or something like that.
Yes, it is a synthesizer. You've identified that. But we need.
But as to the band and the song, I'm afraid, no, can't help you there, James. So I will bid you and the listeners good evening.
All right. Good evening, John. Talk to you next time.
Bye.
All right. John and Dennison's helped out the next caller a little bit. Let's go to. Okay. Shane's in WA and a first time caller. G'day, Shane.
Yeah, how you going, James? Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good on this Sunday.
Very good.
It's my nan's 90th birthday on the 9th of November.
Is it?
Yes.
Gosh, it must be the season for yes, nan's birthdays. Yes,
yeah. Everyone's birthdays because everyone's having sex in summer.
Oh, because it's 9. Okay, yeah, I hadn't thought about that before, but thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
anyway,
okay.
Anyway, we're going to the question now.
Well,
start with it again.
So we need the band and the song title. Do you want to hear the song again?
Yes.
Okay. Salvation to yours, but just the time it takes to pay the dancer. Once again, such anxious men find questions but no answers. Okay, so does that help?
Question man.
What was that?
Question man for the songs now?
No, it's not the question man.
Mm.
Yeah. But look, you it's great that you're a first-time caller, so thank you for giving it a go, Shane.
All right, then.
All right.
Have a nice day, James.
You too. Talk to you soon. All right. 1-300-800-222 to play along for the history quiz tonight. We've still got to name this song and the artist of the song. We've named it, found out that it's a synthesizer. We're there. We'll get to more of your calls in a moment. 1-300-800-222.
As each day begins,
get the facts you need to stay informed.
Every day, across your day,
stay with Australia's trusted news source.
Stay in the know with ABC News.
Go to news.abc.net.au or download the ABC News app.
This is Nightlife with James Findlay
on ABC Radio.
And we were powering through those questions for a while there. George was getting through them. But now we're stumped again. We're still at question 9. Dickie's in Double Bay. Dickie, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning. I'm stumped with this question. Look, yeah, synthesizer, yeah, I've got that sort of right. I think the band is The Who.
Oh, it's not The Who either.
Oh, I stuffed that up tonight.
Yeah. Gosh.
Great. I love it. I stay up. I go to bed so early, but I just stay up waiting for this.
Well, I'm glad you do, Dickie. I'm glad you do. Well, better luck next time, Dickie, but you have a good night.
All over it. Cheers, mate.
Thanks, Dickie in Double Bay there. 1-300-800-222 is the number to call. Let's go. Stay in Sydney where Trevor is now. G'day, Trevor.
Oh, good evening. I was hoping it wouldn't be me. No, I've got no idea. I've never even heard that song before.
Oh, no.
And I'm 71, so I guess I should have, but I've got no idea.
Okay, that's okay. All right, well, thanks for holding on anyway, Trevor.
Okay, thank you.
Thank Bye-bye. You, Trevor. Trevor in Sydney there. Michael's in Warrnambool. G'day, Michael.
Yeah, hi James, how are you?
I'm good. Do you know what this song is?
I did before I rang. I know it wasn't, but I'm going to say, Moody Blues.
Oh, it's not.
No, well, I'll pass on some more useless information. In 1965, GPO box for the ABC.
Yep.
Triple 94, and whoever I know his name in there, the chairman name selected 994 because that was Don Bradman's batting average, 99.94.
Yes, I think I've heard that before as well, and I have a feeling it's the same. I think it's still the same number in the cities.
Is.
Yeah.
It is. Yep. Right. Good luck. Okay.
Thanks, Michael. Michael in Warrnambool there. Yeah, because when I get a parcel, it does say the postbox number on it. Anyway, 1-300-800-222. Let's see if I can. Poor producer Lockie's very busy on the phones getting through those. Let me see if I can have a look and see if there's some people on the text line that you may have got this. Okay. Is there. No, gosh, not many of you on the text line. Actually, no one on the text line has got this. One of you says that. Lucky, we thought you'd bring some order to the chaos. I don't know if that's happened either. Okay. Lucky, let's see who I've got in the queue here. 1-300-800-222. Okay, here we go. Let's go. Okay, Wanneroo, where Graham is. G'day, Graham.
Oh, hi there.
Yeah, I'm baffled by this too. I mean, it's definitely not the Who or the Moody Blues.
No, no, no. We've established that, yep.
No, but I haven't heard that song either, so I'm quite surprised. Could I just, I did phone up for the previous question, which I knew the answer to.
Oh, yeah.
About Michael Charlton.
Yes. Yeah,
I knew that. I've got some a vague personal recollection.
Oh, go for it. Yeah, I'd love to hear.
Yeah, I think Michael Charlton moved to the UK, and I think he worked for the BBC. I think he was a producer, not a producer, he was a presenter. And I think he worked on Panorama, which was like the equivalent of Four Corners. And he had some children, one of which was called Tim. And Tim Charlton went to the same school as I did, and my brother did too. And my brother was in the same year as Tim, and they were played in the cricket team together. And Michael Charlton used to come and watch Tim play. This was obviously many years ago, but anyway, I just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah, no, good one.
But I remember the voice because he was a very nice guy, actually.
Oh, well, that's always good to hear, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, I can't help you with the answer of this one. Yeah, okay.
All right. Well, thanks anyway, Graham. Graham in Wanneroo there. Karen's in Altona Meadows. Karen, will you be able to help us out here?
No, I knew quite a few of the other ones. I just had a guess on the group. I'll say the Kinks.
Oh, it's not the Kinks, but I think you're in the right realm, I feel. Karen, so thanks anyway, but we've got to keep moving on because we're stuck at question 9. Can you believe it? Thank you, Karen. Let's go to Morphett Vale, South Australia, where Ian is. Ian, hopefully this song sounds familiar. Do you want me to play it again?
No, it wouldn't help. I don't know it.
You don't know it either? Oh my gosh.
Time to retire it.
Time to retire it. I don't know. Is that something that Suzanne does? I don't think so. Oh, okay, Ian.
But our Saturday morning girl does in South Australia.
Oh. Who's on South Australian mornings? Well, Deb.
Yeah, Deb Tribe.
Oh,
yeah.
Bless her. I love Deb Tribe. Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, no, I don't think we're retiring anything. Who knows? Andy or Stuart or Dave behind you might know.
All right.
But thanks for the call, Ian.
Just a suggestion. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. 1-300-800-222. I'm going to play the song again. Okay, let's go to Morphett Vale, South Australia, where Ian is. Ian, please, do you know this song? Ian?
I've just been on.
Oh, you've just been on. Oh, sorry, let's move on. You can hang up now, Ian. Let's go to Andy. Andy's on the road to Cairns. Do you know this song?
Is it The Monkees?
It is The Monkees. Please give me a title.
Daily Nightly?
Yes, it's Daily Nightly by The Monkees. And it features one of the first pop songs to use the Moog synthesizer. So there you go.
All right.
So well done. Gosh, okay. Well, let's move on because we're at question number 10. What was the instant food that was invented in 1958 by Momofuku Ando in Japan?
Oh, well, is it a type of food or something specific?
So it's an instant food. So you do eat it.
No, I was thinking like something that they combine, like for example, sushi, but
It's an instant food that was invented in 1958. So I guess it had to be invented.
No idea, sorry.
Oh, you don't want to take a punt at something?
No, I can't think of anything else.
Oh, that's right. All right, well, how are things on the road on the way to Cairns, Andy? How long have you got to go?
Oh, not long. I've only got probably about 20 minutes, half an hour to go.
Ah, nice
one. It's been good. It's been a good day on the road. It hasn't been too bad.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. All right. Thanks, Andy. Stay safe.
Thank you. Will do. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. 1-300-800-222. 1-300-800-222 is the number to call here on the history quiz tonight here on Nightlife. I'm James Findlay. Stuart's in Victor Harbour. G'day, Stuart.
Hey, James. G'day, mate. How you doing?
Good. How are you tonight?
Oh, not bad. Just laying in bed. I just woke up, so I thought I heard this ridiculous question. The one before, this one's a bit unusual, isn't it?
It is a bit unusual too, yeah.
We should know this history. This should be prominent in everyone's mind.
Well,
I know. I'm only joking.
I know. Well, that's the thing about history, right? Okay, so...
It's all history.
It's all history.
One day we will be, so that's where life is.
Okay, so I'll read the question again.
Yeah, I got you, mate. I'm going to go 2-minute noodles. That's my guess.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, instant noodles.
Oh, okay.
Yep. It was instant noodles were invented, and I guess 2-minute noodles are kind of instant.
I reckon if you didn't give me that, it would be a bit of a... I think it has to be a protest. Yep. Thank you, James. It's actually 2.5-minute noodles. You'll be wrong. So 13 years after World War II, that's what he came up with.
The world's first instant noodles were developed to address post-World War II food shortages.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Yep. You think it, mate? I suppose that was it.
Yep, so there you go.
13 years later, right.
Yep. Okay, question number 11. So what Australian invention in 1965 was invented, influenced the way wine was consumed around the world?
Well, that would have been the bladder, the cask, wasn't it? This was a foil bladder.
Yes, that's right. Yes, it is the foil bladder, the cask wine. Yeah. Well, you're in Victor Harbour, right, which is in South Australia?
Right. I know. Hang on a minute. Oh, you did too. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, it was developed in the Riverland.
Yeah, well, I think it was down by near Renmark or Loxton.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it was.
Have you been to Victor Harbour, James? Have you been to Victor Harbour, James?
Have I been to? I don't think I've been to Victor Harbour, but I did live in Adelaide for a while, and I've been to the Mount, and I've been to
the Mount.
Mount Gambier.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And a bit of the Limestone Coast and, Port Lincoln. I've been to Port Lincoln too.
Yeah, oh, well done. Okay. Yeah.
I've seen a little bit of South Australia.
Yeah, are you originally from where?
Well, where am I now?
Where are you originally from?
I grew up on the south coast of New South Wales in Batemans Bay.
Oh, what a great spot.
Yeah, it's a good spot. Good spot.
It's a beautiful place, yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I do miss Adelaide. It was beautiful. I loved it in South Australia.
Adelaide's a nice city, unfortunately. Something's gone wrong with this country. No one can afford to buy a house anymore. It's ridiculous.
I don't think that matters where you are.
I hope in 1989 in Tokyo, there was a massive collapse. Housing dropped by nearly 50% within the short. I hope it happens here. A lot of people get hurt, but it's just not right.
Yeah.
The country's gone to the pack.
Let's see if we can keep things on the straight and narrow with the quiz.
We'll try to cheer you up.
Yeah, thanks.
I had a bad dream and I woke up and I'll take it out to everybody else.
Well, look, this has hopefully improved your mood. You've got two questions right.
My mood's okay. I'm just sad to see what's happening.
All right. Question number 12 for the history quiz. Okay.
Mate.
The first ever album to be recorded and mixed digitally was made in 1981. So this is another music question.
Yeah, I heard the other one. I wouldn't have thought. Whoever got the Monkees, well done. Whoever did it, very good.
Yeah, it was the Monkees. Yeah,
there's
they did very well.
There's only one Monkey left, too, I think.
Oh, that's a shame. Okay.
Yeah, I just full of good news, aren't I? Look, carry on.
Okay, so for this, I need the group and the title of the album.
Oh, for God's sake.
Let's go. Okay.
Seriously, man, I'm glad. I'm just glad that's not no longer available. I do vaguely remember that. I think I was 99. I wound up in the hospital after this. It was shock and trauma. It's pretty terrible, isn't it? 1981, I'll go... I don't know. I'll go 81.
Yeah, come on, Stuart.
Oh, well, actually, James, it's fair dinkum, mate. I wouldn't have a clue.
Okay.
Well, good on you.
Well,
James.
Yeah, mate.
You're running a pretty good show, mate.
Thanks, mate. That's very nice of you to say. Thanks, Stuart.
Oh, well, I don't give compliments out for you. I wouldn't.
You wouldn't say it if you didn't mean it. I appreciate it.
I wouldn't expect it. Oh, actually, I would.
Thank you, Stuart. 1-300-800-222. We're playing the history quiz tonight. Oh, gosh, we got another first-time caller. Let's do it. G'day, Lauren.
Yeah, hello.
Hello. Welcome to the quiz.
Thank you so much.
I believe you're on a harvester at the moment. How are things going?
Going pretty well. Actually, I wasn't even listening to the radio. The paddock, no one had service but me, so they made me call. I didn't know what the quiz
was. Oh, yeah, so it's the quiz. Okay, so look, I'm going to need an artist and a title of this song. But I'm not sure if maybe you were even alive when this was played, so when this was released, but we'll give it a go, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, Lauren, any idea what that band is and the title?
Sounds familiar. Is there any hints?
Sorry, what was that?
Can I get a hint?
No, there's no hints allowed. Not even for first-time callers, Lauren. It was released in 1981.
Okay. Am I able to play it over the two-way so my
No, you absolutely cannot ask for help. That is another rule from the for the quiz.
Oh, first time caller.
Yeah, I know. That's okay.
I'm going to have to pass on that one.
Oh, that's all right. All right, well, do you want to give a shout-out to your other harvester mates? No, I think Lauren's gone now, but she's on the harvester in... Mangundi. There we go. All right. 1-300-800-222. Let's head to Surface Paradise where Trev is. G'day, Trev.
Yes.
Yes. Are you a bit of a music fan?
You know, I am, but sometimes there's a lot of music.
You don't say.
There's a lot of music and music... somebody who likes music can't know all of them.
No, that's true. But someone who likes music could know this band. Do you know who it is, Trev?
Can you play the thing again?
Yep, here we go. Trev, who's that?
Oh, is there a band called No Idea?
I'm not sure, but it's it's not them, though. No, it's not the band No Idea.
What was the year again?
1981.
Spice Girls?
No, it's not the Spice Girls. It was 15 years later they were releasing music. Thank you, Trav.
I thought it was the Spice Girls when they were in kindergarten.
Yeah, when they're in kindy. No, it wasn't. Thanks, Trav. Let's head to, oh, my gosh, really? Is that where we're going? Hello to Matthew. How are you?
Yes, I'm good, thanks.
That's good. And where are you calling from, Matthew?
Northern Sweden, far north Sweden.
Well,
that's quite appropriate. It's quite appropriate that I answer this question, isn't it?
It's absolutely appropriate that you answer this question.
So I hope I'm right when I say ABBA and the album is The Visitors.
Yes, it's ABBA with The Visitors. How are things in Sweden right now, Matthew?
A little bit rainy, They are, and I'm changing the tyres on my car, putting the winter ones on with the spikes on, so I'm getting ready for the ice and snow, so, yep.
Oh, and listening to the ABC.
Yes, as I always do.
Fantastic. Were you listening this time about this time last night when we were talking about that football team in southern Sweden that won the National League?
No.
Or did you miss that?
I must have missed it. Most of the time I have the radio on listening to ABC, so it's quite odd that I didn't hear it. But
We talked about Sweden for about half an hour, so I'm glad that we're talking about it again.
Okay. All right. I'll have to go back and listen to that. Yep.
Well, let's see how we go. We've got question number 13 now. Listen to this sound. It's one of the first games that was widely available on a mobile phone in the 90s. What was the name of the game? And what was the phone you could play it on? Here's the sound. Okay, well, that's a little bit of an annoying sound, so I'm not going to keep playing that.
The only one I can think of is Snake on Nokia phones. But
yes.
It doesn't...
Yeah, it's Snake on a Nokia phone.
Oh, okay.
Yes, which is also I guess suitable because I have a feeling Nokia is a Finnish company.
Finnish,
so, you know, exactly Scandinavian.
Finland,
there we go.
Well, not Scandinavian, but yep.
Okay. So, well, no, but next door.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number 14, Matthew. What was the groundbreaking Australian medical invention that was based on research by Professor Graham Clark? A groundbreaking Australian medical invention.
Medical invention. Mm-hmm. Gosh. But no year.
No, there's no year on this one.
Oh, gosh, I've got no idea, really.
Okay.
I'm just going to guess and say the pacemaker. I don't think it's correct because I actually think the first one was implanted here in Sweden. But anyway.
Oh, okay. No, pacemaker. It's not the pacemaker. But thanks for playing all the way from Sweden, Matthew.
Yes, well, thanks. It's been good. I actually answered two questions, so I'm pleased about that.
Yeah, so. I think it's a very good thing. All right, well, enjoy the rest of today.
I will. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Matthew. Matthew in northern Sweden there. 1-300-800-222. It's a very good evening to you, Pearl in Darwin. Hello again.
Hello, James. I'm not in northern Sweden. I'm in northern territory.
Yeah, that's right. Another northern part.
Can I give a quick shout out to a couple of people?
Of course you can.
Andrew and Jody in Gruin. Hi, guys. Hope Brian's going okay. And was on the Sunshine Coast. Where are you? Haven't heard from you for ages. And I'm glad to hear that Stu from Victor Harbour's feeling better.
Yes. Yes, it sounds like he is. Okay. So, Pearl, what was the groundbreaking Australian medical invention that was based on research by Professor Graham Clark?
I think it might be, is it the cochlear implant?
Yes, it is, the cochlear implant.
My friend's having one tomorrow.
Oh, fantastic.
In Brisbane, yep.
Very good. Oh, well, that'll change their life a bit, won't it?
Yep.
Okay, Pearl, question number 15. That's another medical invention. What was the groundbreaking Australian medical invention invented by Dr. Fiona Wood?
Oh, was that the spray-on skin?
Yes. In fact, it is the spray-on skin. Very good. Okay, we've got time before the news. Okay, in 1992, this is question number 16 now, Pearl.
92.
Yep, 92. Australian audiences were introduced to a new type of on-screen family. What was the name of the show and what was it the first of in Australia? Oh, okay. Here is the audio clue.
Streets, Laurie. One of these days I'll pack me bloody bags and I'm going out of here. Truly, it's more drama living in this house than living out of it.
I don't know why.
Goodness.
Yeah, goodness.
Was that one of the first reality TV shows?
Yes, Pearl, it was the first reality TV show in Australia.
Mm.
And what was its name?
Oh, gosh. Sylvania Waters or something?
Yes, it's Sylvania Waters.
Yeah, I didn't even watch it.
No.
I can't watch it.
No, you can't watch it. You can't see.
Yeah.
That's all right. I don't know if you missed anything, but if it's reality TV show, maybe you didn't.
I still don't listen to reality TV.
No. That's fair enough.
No.
Okay, question number 17. We're nearly at the end. We're getting there. What made Dolly the sheep? This is multiple choice, actually. I don't know if this is a normality, but we've got multiple choice. What made Dolly the sheep scientifically and historically significant when she was born in 1996?
She'd been cloned.
Yeah. Hang on. I've got.
Not the question.
No, it's not the. It's not the question. So,
oh, sorry.
Was it A? She was the first sheep to be genetically modified. She was, or B, she was the first mammal cloned from an adult somatic cell, or C, she was the first animal to be cloned using stem cells, or D, she was the first cloned animal to live more than 10 years.
Oh, gosh. I don't think she lived 10 years. I'm sorry to do this to you, James, but could you repeat those again?
Yes. So A is she was the first sheep to be genetically modified. B, she was the first mammal cloned from an adult somatic cell.
I'll go there.
Yes, it is B. That's the first somatic cell. Yep, well done. Pearl in Darwin is our contestant for the quiz right now, the history quiz. Got three questions left, Pearl. When we left each other, we're at question number 18. So I need you to take a listen to this, and I need you to tell me what this person is announcing. I'll tell you who the person is after I play it. Here we go.
This is a day I've been looking forward to for 2.5 years. Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
That's Steve Jobs at a presentation in 2007. What was he announcing, Pearl?
The iPad?
It's not the iPad.
Oh, you know, the other one,
Yeah. Thank you, Pearl. Talk to you next time.
Thank you, bye.
Okay, Pearl and Darwin there. Jai is in Forbes and is a first-time caller. Hello, first-time caller, Jai.
Hey, James, how are you, mate?
Good, and thanks for being a first-time caller. We love to see it.
Very good. No, just listening and thought I'd have a go.
Well, why not, I say? Okay, so we've got Steve Jobs here at a presentation in 2007. What was he announcing?
The iPhone.
Yes, it was the first iPhone. Very good. Question number 19. We'll power through. What two classic pastries were combined to create the Cronut, a viral food invention introduced in 2013 by Chef Dominique Ansel?
It's like a donut and a croissant.
Yes, the donut and a croissant. Very good. Which brings us to the last question. If you get this right, the magnet is yours. Who is speaking in this audio clip and why are actors around the world outraged?
Genes are normally passed down from parents to offspring, often determining traits like hair colour, personality, and even eye colour. Not mine. I'm built on everything that came before me. My genes are binary.
Who is that?
I'm going to have to pass. I don't even have the faintest idea. James?
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, look, you got one right on your first time calling, and I think that's a pretty good achievement. So thank you, Jai.
Okay, goodbye.
See you later. Talk to you next time. Let's go to Joni in Preston. How are you, Joni?
Hi. Yeah, good. I don't think I know this one.
Oh, dear.
who's talking and why are people outraged about it? Can you rerun it?
I can.
Genes are normally passed down from parents to offspring, often determining traits like hair color, personality, and even eye color. Not mine. I'm built on everything that came before me. My genes are binary.
Oh, gosh, this is a hard one. I don't know if the last one's usually this hard, but anyway.
Since it's ABC, I reckon something about AI is to do with it. I reckon you guys are always filling airtime with that, so I reckon it's something about something about AI is my guess, but that's the best I can do with this one.
Yeah, yeah, and you're on the right track. I don't think we're the only people talking about AI, though. But,
yeah, maybe that's my answer to why people are outraged is the voice is not a human.
Yeah, yeah. I just need a name. Yeah. This person has a name.
The name? Oh, no, I don't know that.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, thanks, Joni. Talk to you soon. Joni and Preston there. Perth is Nicholas. Nicholas.
G'day, g'day.
G'day, g'day. Do you know who this is?
We were talking about something similar to this about a month ago. I can't remember if it's Tilly or Tiley, but I know the surname's Norwood, and it's an Instagram thingy. I'll say Tilly. Tilly.
It is Tilly Norwood. Oh, my gosh. And I was thinking, oh, I think this is too hard. But no, you've got it, Nicholas.
Yeah, and it's only, like I said, literally we're chatting with mates about 4 or 5 weeks ago over lunch, just how the whole non-binary thing was what stuck in my mind.
Yeah, right. Well, there you go. Well, look, congratulations. I'd love to chat more, but we've got to move on to our next thing. I'll put you back on hold. Producer Lockie will get your details and we'll get that magnet out to you. And once we find the next year's calendar and Australian Gardening Australia calendar and diary, that'll be yours as well.
Woohoo! It's my birthday today. Even
Well, happy birthday, Nicholas.
Thanks, mate.
What are you doing to celebrate?
It's been and gone, but yeah, relatives took me out for a Butte Winery lunch and a bit of sightseeing. I'm over here house sitting in Perth.
Oh, fantastic. Well, look, enjoy the rest of your birthday.
Thanks, mate. Take care.
Have a good one. Oh, birthday boy Nicholas there. Winning the history quiz as well. So how's that for a birthday present?
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.